Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We are going to talk this morning in this part of the show about movies, something that from time to time throughout the year we do. This, as I mentioned just before in the news, it's a very big movie-going time of the year. So there's a lot of product available. Studios know people want to go to the movies. Also, of course, studios are thinking about this as a time when they're going to put out what they think are some of their most praiseworthy, award-worthy movies. They're looking ahead to the Academy Awards, which are not that far into the next year. In fact, I think I read somewhere that the ballots are going out to the Academy members the day after Christmas, and that their mailboxes certainly have been crowded with DVDs from producers of films who want them to see them and to perhaps to nominate them and to vote for them. And it's also a time of year when, because we're here at a holiday period, sometimes people want to see movies that are about the holidays. Some people probably for their holidays to be complete, it includes watching a particular kind of movie. So we have a wide territory here that we want to try to cover, talking a little bit about movies that are about the holiday and also movies that are now on screens for the holiday. Let's see, we can do a little of both of those things. And our guest is Stephen Schaefer. He is assistant dean in the College of Arts and Sciences at the U of I, also assistant professor of cinema studies. And we're very pleased to have him here to talk. And I think we'll have a good time, I'm sure. For people who are listening, as we go along the conversation, maybe you would like to call in and tell us about a particular holiday-themed movie that is a great favorite of yours. You can certainly do that. Sometimes on this program, we just encourage people to call in and talk about movies they have seen recently. Maybe they've seen a movie and they thought it was very good, and you just like to say, I thought this was a great movie. Other people would like it. That we can do, too. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Here we are now, as I say, we're at a time when people want to go to the movies. So they're looking for some holiday entertainment. And sometimes people actually want to see a movie that's about the holiday. We all grew up watching certain movies, whatever. People will have their list. I know you've thought about it, and you have some to suggest, and I think other people do too. But sometimes I think people just, you know, they want to go and see something entertaining. And indeed, it is a time when studios feel that if they have something very good, very Tony, or maybe maybe we've gotten now to the point where there are Christmas blockbusters like there are summer blockbusters. Studios will show those movies. So how do you, in your mind, do you think about something that is a holiday-themed movie and something else that is just it released at this time?
Well, this is clearly the most profitable time of the year for movie companies, along with the summer period. And as a result, they do have what I guess we could call a holiday type of movie, a movie that comes out trying to attract as large an audience as possible. But as you characterized it, there are also the holiday-themed movies. And those are movies, I think, that we can, by consensus agree, deal with the various trappings of the holiday season, the mythology of Christmas, the Santa Claus, the notion of winter, the experience of the holidays, and so forth. In that regard, many people talk about their top 10 movies. As a matter of fact, I think there recently was a book that came out on Christmas movies in general. And I just noticed yesterday on the internet, there are several sites that list Christmas movies. In preparation for the show, I thought, well, what are my, instead of having a top 10 winter or holiday movie list, I thought I would call it the top 10 and a half, and just to be a little bit different, and I'll explain in just a minute. Mm-hmm. These are 10 and a half movies that I think everyone might enjoy seeing at this time of year, and they all have characteristics that include a winter setting, a holiday setting, often a redemption of the character, something that transforms the person by the holiday season. And I'll do them in reverse order, Ella David Letterman. Number 10 would be Christmas in Connecticut, a film directed by Peter Godfrey in 1945, Barbara Stanwyck, Sidney Greenstreet, and a very funny comedy about a writer and a returning soldier at Christmas time. Number nine is one that probably not many people would include, but I have to include it. It's known as March of the Wooden Soldiers, but it should more formally be called Babes in Toyland. This is the 1934 Laurel and Hardy, Hal Roach produced version of Victor Herbert's operetta. One of the few advantages of the movement a few years ago to colorize movies was that it persuaded some studios to go back into their vaults and bring out the complete versions of films. And up until that time, the version of March of the Wooden Soldiers was a badly cut-up version that trimmed out about 9 minutes of the film. The version that came out a number of years ago, the colorized version, actually is the complete version. And it's interesting. It might be one of the few occasions where a colorized film is actually more appropriate, because Roach Studios in 1934 toyed with the idea of making the film in Technicolor and couldn't afford it. It would have been the two-strip version, and it just wasn't feasible. But the version with Charlotte Henry has much of the Victor Herbert score. Even the songs that are not included are in the incidental music, and it's charming. It's wonderful for children, and I confess I am a big Laurel and Hardy fan, so that's number nine. Number eight on the list would be National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. Some people might find it objectionable. I found it hilarious, and I think it actually precedes a number of the more recent and less effective movies making fun of how people try to compete and do different things at Christmas time. Number seven is a rather small film that was recently reshown here in town, Prancer, a 1989 film that introduced Rebecca Harrell, a wonderful actress. The film was directed by a fellow named John Hancock, and it's really very nicely done. It's about a little girl, and her father is suffering economic problems. The mother has recently deceased, and a missing reindeer, which somehow gets into northern Michigan, she identifies as Prancer. And it's a charming film and very affecting. Number six is probably inevitable, White Christmas. Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Rosemary Clooney extravaganza directed by the inevitable Hollywood veteran Michael Curtiz, who has directed so many films, one of the really great directors of Hollywood, great underappreciated directors. This was to be the third of the Fred Astaire, Bing Crosby collaborations, but something prevented Fred Astaire from being able to do it, the first, of course, being A Holiday Inn, the second being Blue Skies, which were opportunities for Irving Berlin songs to be brought together. And White Christmas is a favorite of many, and again was recently shown here in town. Number five is probably also inevitable, Miracle on 34th Street, directed by George Seaton, wonderful performance by Edmund Gwenn and Maureen O'Hara and John Payne and the beautiful Natalie Wood as a child. Holiday Inn is number four on my list. Again, as you get closer to the top of the list, these are inevitable, but anytime you can combine Fred and Bing and the introduction of the song White Christmas, the backstory of which is rather interesting. Irving, it's a song of longing, and Berlin, it's not widely known, lost his son on Christmas Eve, and he and Mrs. Berlin would often every year would go to the cemetery when the other members of their family thought they were out Christmas shopping. He wrote the song. He was very close to his family when he, in relation to a time when he was in Hollywood at Christmas time and could not be with his family. And that the verse to the song, which talks about being in Beverly Hills, USA, gives it a more specific meaning for the rest of the song. But since it's the centerpiece of Holiday Inn, I have to include Holiday Inn as my list. Number three is going to be controversial. Obviously, everyone has to include A Christmas Carol at some point. Everyone will assume that it's the Alastair Sim version, especially since, after all, my specialty is British films. But no, not in this case. My favorite version is the 1938 version, directed by Edward Marin at MGM. With Reginald Owen playing Ebenezer Scrooge. What's interesting is the film was originally intended to showcase Lionel Barrymore, who for about 20 years was Ebenezer Scrooge on the radio every year at Christmas time. But because of his arthritis, he had to step away from the role and actually prepared a featurette introducing Reginald Owen in the role. The supporting cast is amazing. Gene Lockhart gives a great performance as Bob Cratchit. You have Leo G. Carroll in it as Marley. I like the 1938 version only slightly more than the 1951 version. There are about 25 versions of A Christmas Carol, I found as I was looking through this. Number two is A Christmas Story, the Gene Shepherd story that was directed by Bob Clark and has become a standard every year. I thought Parkland College did a wonderful stage version of that recently and happened to see it, and those who participated in it did a very nice job. And then finally, number one is inevitable. It's a Wonderful Life. Frank Capra's film is America's A Christmas Carol and is still affecting. Recently, when it was shown at the Virginia Theater, it was remarkable how effectively it played. And the print that was at the Virginia was a very nice print and brought to bear the wonderful cinematography in the film. Now, there are some films that I consider among the worst Christmas films ever made. Three pop into mind immediately. One is something called Santa Claus versus the Martians, a 1964 film produced by K. Gordon Murray, in which, incidentally, Pia Zadora plays one of the children. Mm-hmm. It is so bad that it's laughable. There's another movie that I intensely disliked called Trapped in Paradise, with a great cast, Nicolas Cage, John Lovitz, Dana Carvey, directed by George Gallo, who should have had better taste. He's written films like Wise Guys and Midnight Run, and it just didn't work. It just failed miserably. Then another film called the whole notion of horror films centered around Christmas is just so awful. But there's a 1973 film called Silent Night, Deadly Night. And there's another one called Black Christmas. And of all things, they've remade it now. And so it's going to be coming out this Christmas. So those are among my worst Christmas films.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The top 10 films, and certainly I'm sure people listening would have some of their own favorites in that they would want to add or they might want to delete. I don't know. If people want to talk about holiday-themed movies, that's certainly welcome. Or anything else that has to do with movies, you certainly can give us a call. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. I think it's striking, maybe not striking, that so many of these movies are classic golden age Hollywood films. When I was a kid, I lived in the Chicago area, and in my day, we didn't have very many television channels, but one that we had was WGN that had a wonderful collection of classic Hollywood movies.
Yes.
And that was where I first saw Fred Astaire, and I saw The Maltese Falcon and Casablanca and, that kind of movies. I'm sure that's the first time I saw Holiday Inn, all those kinds of movies.
We come from similar backgrounds because I grew up within the television distance of Chicago. Channel 2 had the MGM package. Channel 7 had 20th Century Fox. Channel 9 had Warner Brothers films. And Channel 5 showed some British films, interestingly, although they had usually The Tonight Show, and there weren't as many films on Channel 5. And I agree, if you had parents who were somewhat liberal in allowing people to stay up late, mm-hmm. if they finished their homework and maybe had a nap, you really had an opportunity to peruse the library of films from the 30s and 40s. And those of us who had that opportunity and who have reasonably good memories have a good background for it.
There's a movie that they used to show that that I liked and was very high on my mother's list. Christmas in Connecticut is her all-time favorite movie, mm-hmm. so you've hit the one that's on her list. This was a film, and I have not seen it since, and I don't know why. Do you know The Cheaters?
I'm not familiar
with
that.
It's a film of that same vintage, and it didn't have big stars in it, but it did have Billy Burke was in it, Eugene Paulette, and Joseph Schildkraut was in the movie. And it was a movie about a family, a not very nice, wealthy family, set at Christmas time. And part of the theme is that other people they know, other wealthy families, decide at Christmas time to take in a charity case. So they think one of the daughters is apparently high on this idea because it's just the thing to do. And the charity case they take in is Joseph Schildkraut, who is this sort of broken down actor. And it has a loose sort of connection to A Christmas Carol. And in the process of the movie, what happens is that the family, you know, they examine themselves and they examine their values. And it turns out in the end, they go through some crisis, but everything is okay and they come out better for it. And Schildkraut sort of plays the role of the various spirits by trying to point out to them what really Christmas is really all about. And it's a wonderful movie, it's the kind of thing I would expect to see on Turner Classics, but I don't know. The movie apparently just vanished. I don't think I've seen it since I was a kid.
Well, I'm not familiar with that. It sounds fascinating. It sounds also as if it has a My Man Godfrey kind of element to it as well, mm-hmm. but especially given the fact that Eugene Paulette is the father in that. But another film that I might have included on the list is O. Henry's Full House, which has a beautiful version of The Gift of the Magi. Mm-hmm. And with, I think, Farley Granger is the husband, and I believe Jean Crane is the wife. Speaking of watching things, I didn't include anything from television movies or television productions. There were many made-for-television movies that I could have included in this list. But one of my annual treats when I was growing up was watching every year on Red Skelton Show his version of The Cop and the Anthem with the character that he played, the clown character, Freddie the Freeloader, often with Alan Jenkins, I think, playing the other bum. He's trying to do something to get into jail on Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking forward to that every year, but that also doesn't seem to be available, at least presently. Yeah. I'm going to have to look up The Cheaters.
I would like to see it. And as I said, I'm really sorry that I was sort of surprised that it doesn't pop with all the various holiday movies. Yeah. It doesn't pop up in Turner Classics. I think it would be a natural for them. And I don't know if it's an issue that, well, it doesn't really have big stars or, you know, who knows? There could be some conflicting issue about who has rights to the movie, and it could just be locked in a vault somewhere and is tied up that way. I don't know.
Well, there are some packages of films that are just not available and have not been released to television in recent years. I've been wondering why the package of films from Columbia have been missing from television for decades, including a lot of the B movies that Columbia released, many of which were very interesting, and those don't seem to pop up at much at all. And there certainly are many films that independent producers, smaller studios, just the packages aren't part of the television.
Our guest in this part of Focus 580, Stephen Schaefer. He is assistant professor of cinema studies, teaches a course on film every year in the spring. He's also assistant dean in the College of Arts and Sciences and is particularly interested in movies. British, your particular interest is in British movies?
Well, my PhD is in British history, and I did research on the British film industry in the 1930s. My book on British popular films from 1929 to 1939, which is still in print, concerns the relationship between the British film industry and British economy and British society during the Depression.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a caller here and would welcome others if you'd like to call in. Either you'd like to talk about holiday-themed movies or if you just are interested in talking about movies, that's fine. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. We have a caller here in Champaign, line one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. This is really a fun subject. I miss the very beginning of your list, so I'm not imagining that this film was on it. This you were talking about films that haven't been released. This one hasn't gone to DVD, but it was one that I really liked. It was called Remember the Night.
I recall that title, but tell me more about it.
You bet. Fred McMurray, Barbara Stanwyck, and the actress that plays Jimmy Stewart's mother in It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, and that would be Beulah Bondi.
Yeah, exactly. And Fred McMurray is a DA, and he's trying, he's in a case against Barbara Stanwyck, who I believe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's all coming back, right?
Yeah, it's. I think that's a Mitchell Lyson film from the late 1930s.
I think it is, and he ends up bailing her out, taking her out on bond, and taking her home to his mother for Christmas.
That film is a Paramount release, and that's a very good point. Many of the Paramount pictures don't seem to show up very often. Occasionally, Turner seems to be separately contracting for some Paramount releases, but that would be a late 1930s a Paramount release, and I recall seeing that many years ago, and I believe it might have even been on local television here. I think Channel 3 had Paramount films at one time. That's a wonderful film, I'm sorry I didn't recognize it right off the bat.
That's okay, and I, you know, it'd be interesting. I haven't done the research on it, but. Pre-Double Indemnity or post-Double Indemnity?
Pre.
Yeah, because, you know, what a coupling that was, you know.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Well, thanks for the subject. This is great.
Thanks for the suggestion.
Happy holidays.
Thanks, you too. Again, questions are welcome or suggestions. If you want to call in and talk about some of your favorite holiday movies, holiday-themed movies, you can give us a call, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. 1945, The Cheaters. It was directed by Joseph Kane. So there you go.
And what is the studio?
What is the studio? Well, I'm here on the Internet Movie Database, and I don't think, I don't know that it says.
If you go to, full cast and credits, I think if you go near the bottom, you can usually find the studio,
okay.
The releasing studio.
I will do that. I'll continue to work on that. I think we have some other people who would like to join the conversation here, and we're getting set up. So, folks, I'll have to just give us a second here. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Here's someone else we'll talk with on our line number one in Champaign. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. You spoke of Christmas themed movies that were made for TV, and do you remember one called I think it's called JT's Christmas? It's about a little boy. All he wanted like this cat. He lived in the I guess you say the ghetto, and I think Paul Winfield might have been in it. And the little boy, I can't think of his name right now. He was later on. He was one of the featured players in the White Shadow TV show that used to come on TV. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was one of my mother's favorite Christmas movies, and I've been trying to find it. but I haven't been really successful with it.
That rings a bell, but I honestly I don't recall it right off the bat. But it sounds anything with Paul Winfield has to be worthwhile.
Yeah, it came on pretty often, you know. Then eventually it never showed up again, but on TV. But and anyway, right now, of course, I love all of the movies you mentioned, but two movies that I have to add to my list, and some people probably will hate them for different reasons. I love Christmas Vacation and Elf. So those are two more additions to my Christmas classic list.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Elf. Not only did I enjoy Elf for the fact that Will Ferrell is always very funny, but I loved Bob Newhart in that film. Interestingly, that film, which came out a couple of years ago, I was in Minneapolis at the time, and downtown Minneapolis was absolutely closed in with about a 10-inch snowfall, and I had nothing to do, so I went to the theater and watched Elf and enjoyed it immensely. So I'm glad you mentioned that film.
All right, well,
brought
thank
back
you.
Some nice memories.
All right, well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I think we got some other folks here standing by, and we will go next to someone in Urbana, and I believe that would be line number three. Yes. Hello.
Hi, I'm calling. I missed the very beginning of your discussion, so forgive me if you've covered this, but I'm wondering about the phenomenon of holiday films and whether it's kind of uniquely American, or are there some foreign holiday films that you think would rank up there with some of the best American ones?
Well, that's a good question. I think, and I can't speak more recently to releases in non-English speaking countries, but I do think the fact that Christmas is celebrated almost ritualistically in England and America makes those two countries particularly susceptible to good holiday releases. But that's a good point. Certainly, there are films in and many of them don't really play in the United States. From, for example, Eastern Europe, with traditions of winter experiences and traditions that take place in those countries, I suspect they would not play as well here in the States because their traditions might be more specific to their countries and might not be as widely accepted or widely recognized, or that people might be less immediately able to recognize them as a part of their holiday experience. But it's certainly a topic worth exploring, and I wish I had looked into that before I came to the program.
Well, thanks very much.
Okay, well,
thanks
thank
for the
you.
Suggestion.
Let's talk with someone in Naperville next on our line 4, toll-free line. Hello.
Hi, yeah, and speaking of movies from other countries, the movie I called to talk about is a French one called Joyeux Noël, or Merry Christmas, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's an excellent movie taking place during the First World War, and it has a lot to say about the current situation in Iraq, too. It's a German, French, and British production, and if you have the chance to watch it, it will be, I think you would agree with me, it's an excellent movie.
Is that a film that centers on the Christmas experience during the first year of World War One, where
yes,
I've read about that. I haven't seen it, but I've heard very good things about it.
Right, it's based on a true story where you have Germans and the British and the French fighting, and they stop fighting, and instead they start singing and getting together and celebrating Christmas. There's an American movie similar to that. I don't remember the exact title. It's something like Midnight Clear. Mm-hmm. I forget the exact title. It's very similar to that. It takes place during Christmas, but that takes place during the Second World War.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an excellent suggestion, and I will look forward to seeing that. I had read about it, but I've not been able to locate it at least at this point.
It's on DVD at like Blockbuster or Hollywood Movies. I'm not sure about Hollywood, but Blockbuster does have it.
Excellent. Thanks for the suggestion.
Right. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We will continue here. We're a little bit past our midpoint. I want to introduce again our guest, Stephen Schaefer. He is Assistant Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences at the U of I, Assistant Professor of Cinema Studies. We thought it would be fun to talk at this time of year about movies. Actually, from time to time, we talk about movies here on the program, but holiday-themed movies. He spent some time thinking about this and came up with a list of 10 movies that, for him, were particular favorites. And other people can do the same. And although also just generally, if you want to talk about movies, we can do that too. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. And we'll get back to the phones here. And the next person in line is in Champaign and line one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Hi. I apologize if I missed the part of the program where you said that because I was getting in and out of my car while I was listening. But when you mentioned White Christmas, you talked about Irving Berlin and how he missed the East Coast. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Except that he's Jewish.
Right. And that's one of the most interesting parts of the White Christmas phenomenon. In the 1930s and 1940s, Christmas became something of a national holiday. There's a wonderful book that came out just a few years ago about basically the history of the song White Christmas. And it does an excellent job of explaining how Irving Berlin and his family celebrated Christmas as a holiday. It was very important for them. And it, in one sense, as an assimilated Jewish American, he regarded Christmas as an American holiday. And of course, if you know the history of that period, FDR was eager to make Christmas more of as much a secular holiday as a religious holiday, to encourage consumption, to get the economy back going. And the book makes the point that White Christmas is really the first song in many ways to participate in this notion of a secular national holiday. And what followed White Christmas was a whole parade of songs that we've come to associate with Christmas. Of course, the song from Meet Me in St. Louis, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, which came out in 1944, as many families were having to worry about soldiers overseas. Songs like Silver Bells, which was introduced by Bob Hope in the 1951 The Lemon Drop Kid, another Christmassy kind of film. And the host of songs that have followed. Berlin felt very strongly about Christmas and celebrating it as something of a national holiday, a holiday to celebrate families getting together, and the holiday itself for him contributed to his inspiration that went into the background of the movie Holiday Inn. The book is a very good one, and I'm sorry I can't think of the author's name. I heard him speak actually at a conference a number of years ago at Hofstra University, and the book came out about a year after that. It's worth looking for because it really describes how Berlin felt about the song and about the holiday itself. But that's a good point.
I'll have to go look that up. But I actually have another question related, and that is, again, I apologize that I missed the beginning of your list, but were there any non-Christmas movies on your top 10 holiday list of movies?
Well, in one sense, the notion of a holiday movie can also carry with it the trappings, the mythology of the season, movies that have to do with snow and seasonal kinds of things. I chose as my list of holiday movies, movies that were related in some way. One of the titles on the list that I talked about was the 1934 Laurel and Hardy film March of the Wooden Soldiers, otherwise known as Babes in Toyland, which in one sense is not really a Christmas movie, although the premise of it is that Stan and Ollie work in Toyland, and Santa's order for 600 one-foot-tall soldiers is mistaken by Stanley as 106-foot-tall soldiers, and that's part of the film. But it, technically, in one sense, it's not a Christmas movie. It's actually...
I beg to differ. I think if it has Santa Claus in it, it's automatically a Christmas movie. I'm sorry.
Well, in you may be right in that sense, but what I'm saying is basically it's more closely...
Basically, you didn't do any research beyond Christmas movies. You know, there are those of us who do not celebrate this holiday.
Aha. Well, I see your point. I think the notion was that these were going to be holiday movies, but they're certainly in March of the Wooden Soldiers. I don't think anyone could presume anything about the celebration of Christmas. It's really more a tale about these two confused toy makers in Toyland, and it's really more like a children's pantomime, which were very popular in England and still are popular as children's stage events. But your point is,
I would really like to thank you for, you know, just confirming my feeling that living here in the middle of the country is living in the middle of, you know, white Christians, because, you know, there are South Asians who celebrate Diwali, there is Kwanzaa, there's Hanukkah, there's a lot of holidays besides Christmas, and you're really just playing into the notion that this is a closed-minded part of the country. So thanks a lot, and goodbye.
Well, thanks for your opinion.
Well, thank you for using the program in that way. We have about 15 minutes left in this part of Focus 580, and our guest is Stephen Schaefer. He's Assistant Professor of Cinema Studies at University of Illinois. He is also Assistant Dean in the College of Arts and Sciences. And occasionally here on the program, we talk about movies, and this time around, as it is close to a holiday time that some people celebrate, we thought it might be fun to talk a little bit about movies that have that particular holiday as a theme. And he talked about some that he particularly liked. But there, here is also the opportunity for other people who are listening to call in and say, well, here's some that I think are good that have a holiday theme, and they don't necessarily have to be built around Christmas. And in fact, anything else that's on your mind at once that has to do with movies, you could certainly call in and give us your thoughts. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. And we have about 10 minutes or so left in the show, and we have a number of callers, so we'll go on. Next will be Urbana, line 2. Hello.
I tend to think of this time of year as starting for me in my cultural associations back at Thanksgiving time. Although I would also have now included Diwali, but I don't have any films for that. We call it, having lived in Nepal, things sort of start on all of October. But I'd like to recommend toss in a Thanksgiving movie, thinking of the holidays sort of for me starting then. Just Cooking, Mercedes Rule is in it. I think it's called Just Cooking, and it's about four different families and the preparation of the meal and all the things, the interactions that go on among the family members. And ultimately, all of these families are tied together. You don't discover what the tie is until near the very end of the film. And it's really, it has humor in it, and it has raises interesting questions about multiculturalism and families, interactions within families. I just love that movie. I've seen it multiple times now.
Yes, that's I recall the film. I'm not sure it played very long here in Champaign-Urbana. I wasn't able to see it, but I read about it. Since Thanksgiving, actually, personally, is my favorite holiday, I lament the fact that there aren't more Thanksgiving-themed films. But that's a great suggestion.
And, for instance, there's an African-American family, and the mother-in-law is really upset that her daughter-in-law is not having macaroni and cheese, because in their family, macaroni and cheese is one of the required foods for their holiday season. And this daughter-in-law is just not measuring up. You can imagine the variety of things that go on. Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you. And to Urbana next, line number three, another Urbana person. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
There's one film that you didn't mention that's my favorite Christmas movie, and that's it was a remake. It was called originally The Bishop's Wife.
Oh, yes.
And it was remade into The Preacher's Wife.
Yes.
And I just love The Preacher's Wife version, although I've seen the earlier version as well. But Denzel Washington,
yes,
and Whitney Houston are in the Preacher's Wife version, and it's just such a wonderful story, I think.
Well, I think that film is one that if only my list could have been longer, would have been on my list. In the case of those listeners who prefer the 1947 version with Loretta Young and Cary Grant and David Niven, that version is also very good. But I agree with you. I prefer the Denzel Washington remake.
Yeah, it's just. But I had another quick question about colorization or colorizing, mm-hmm, the old movies. Where do you stand on that? Because I would really think that It's a Wonderful Life should stay black and white. I just think that's...
Oh, I agree with you entirely. The consensus among everyone is that the notion of colorizing films was just a foolish and a silly idea. The nice thing, the only advantage or the only virtue of the colorization vogue that took place for a short while was the fact that it persuaded some studios to go back into their vaults, as I mentioned in terms of March of the Wooden Soldiers, and to run prints of the more complete versions of films and or better prints of films. But happily, since that time, a version of March of the Wooden Soldiers in glorious black and white, as it should have been, has been circulated. But no, I oppose colorization completely.
Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to get your thoughts real quick on something, and I hope the callers will forgive me for wedging this question in, because it has to do with something that's not a holiday Christmas any related movie. There is a new film out. Steven Soderbergh has made this movie that's based on the novel The Good German,
mm-hmm,
which is it's now out in theaters now, and I don't know if you have a chance to see it. It is a very noirish film that it's set in post-war Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a black and white film. And as I understand it, what Soderbergh said he wanted to do was he wanted to try to make a movie that was like the classic movies of the 30s and the 40s. I think essentially what he wanted to do was to make Casablanca, except make it with modern, you know, with all the things we can do now, like it has bad language in it and it has sex and all that stuff like that, things that they could never have put in a movie at that time. So essentially it seemed to be that he wanted to make a modern Golden Age Hollywood, yes, movie. That's what he set out to do. And at least one of the reviews that I've read of the movie suggested that, at least in the mind of that reviewer, he did not succeed. So I guess my question is, could you do that? I mean, if today you decided that what you really wanted to do was make a movie with the look and the feel and the everything as much as you could as those kinds of movies that we sometimes sit down and watch on Turner Classics, you know, those sorts of movies. Could you do it? Or is there some reason actually why perhaps we've forgotten how to shoot black and white, or it's something about the sensibility of that time. We're never going to be able to recapture it, so you just can't do it.
Well, I think and I'm not a specialist at the in the technical end or the production end of films, but a part of it is has to do with the stock of the film, and the silver nitrate that was used for many of the films in the 30s and 40s just gave them a wonderful shine. If you ever are able to see a film, a print, one of the old nitrate stock prints, if they're good prints, they just leap off the screen in terms of the color. Your point is a good one, because I'm particularly fond of musicals from the 30s and 40s, and especially the 1930s musicals. And I've often thought how wonderful it would be to have someone remake a 1930s musical. There was an attempt. There was a film. I can't recall the name. It was sort of a double feature that was made about 1974, which black and white back-to-back films. George C. Scott is in it. One of them is a fight film, and then they have this pseudo musical, and it doesn't look anything like a 1930s film. It doesn't have that shine to it. And I think one of the things, I heard an interview with Soderbergh, and he had a great difficulty trying to recreate the appearance. He couldn't find the film stock that he wanted. He couldn't find the kinds of cameras that he needed. And I think technically it would be very, very difficult. And I'm sure there are other people here on campus who could explain far more effectively than I just exactly what the technical specifications are. But I think it would be very difficult to try to recreate that kind of image.
All right. Well, let's try to talk with a few more people here. Let's go to Urbana Line 2. Hello.
Hello there.
Yes.
This is Lawrence Steve. And really enjoying the discussion this morning. And one of my favorite holiday modern Christmas movies is The Ref with Dennis Leary and Kevin Spacey.
Ah, I've not seen that. Tell me about it.
Dennis Leary is a burglar, and he gets trapped in suburbia and has to take hostages in this house. And the family, Kevin Spacey and his wife, are in the process of having their family over for Christmas. It's kind of a dysfunctional family.
Uh-huh.
Glynis Johns is the overbearing mother.
And, I love her.
It's just really funny. It's a dark comedy, but it's funny.
Well, that's a great suggestion. I'll have to look forward to seeing that. It's called The Ref.
The Ref, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they have one scene where they do a Scandinavian reenactment dinner where they have wreaths of candles around their heads.
Oh, yes.
It just gets kind of wild.
Half of my family is Norwegian, so they had lefse at the meal, I'm sure, but it sounds wonderful.
And the other comment I have is that my favorite Christmas Carol version is the one with the Muppets.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a great fan of the Muppets, and the Muppet Christmas Carol is very nicely done. As I recall, Ebenezer Scrooge is I'm blocking on the actor Michael Caine, and he does a wonderful job in that, and it's charming. I agree.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Let's go over to Terre Haute in Indiana, line 4. Hello.
Hi. Well, since we're coming to the end of the program, the title of the film I wanted to mention was Last Holiday. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with Christmas. It's a very early, my mind. Alec Guinness.
Ah.
And it's a very touching story. And even though the ending is, on the face of it, unhappy, it's still peaceful and you're not familiar with it. Last Holiday.
Is it from England in the early 1950s?
1950.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was wonderful. If it's not Ealing Studios, it's one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say about your prior discussion about getting the look of that era.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing they have to do is go low budget and think about people talking
mm-hmm.
and no special effects and no huge blasting sound and so on and so forth. I think people who made films at that time were just more thoughtful.
Well, nowadays it does seem as if every holiday movie has to have tremendous special effects, high-budget items. One of the films that I sadly would have to include in my worst list is a current film, The Santa Claus Part 3, with one of my favorite performers, Martin Short. But it's just a disaster. To my mind, an absolutely awful Christmas film that almost doesn't make sense. And as much as I enjoy Martin Short and Tim Allen, it's overloaded with effects and the notion of having to include those in films. You're right; overloads films to a point.
I'd love to tell you the story of Last Holiday, but we're running out of time, and maybe I'll catch you next year. But it's a great program, anyhow.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. We'll see if we can squeeze one more caller. Line one in Champaign. Hello.
Yes. I think it was made for television rather than for the theaters, but Giancarlo Menotti's wonderful little opera, Amahl and the Night Visitors, used to be a Christmas regular, and I haven't seen it for years.
Yes.
I know it's hard to find a boy soprano who can sing the part, but can you tell me anything about it?
Well, NBC used to do the program every year,
mm-hmm.
and was a tradition. I'm sure David remembers that when we were growing up. And it is a shame that it doesn't appear. The Station Theater did a production of it some years ago, which was very nicely done.
Oh, I missed that. I'm sorry to hear that.
And in the 1950s, the television networks used to do what they used to call spectaculars.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a version of A Christmas Carol with a score that included a libretto by Maxwell Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And Basil Rathbone played Scrooge, I believe. And I remember seeing that in, I think, around 1955, and I've never seen it since.
Mm.
It may exist. I think Mike Douglas actually played, of all things, because he was a singer, played Bob Cratchit.
That's amazing.
He's either Bob Cratchit or he's either or the nephew Fred. But one of those things that those television spectaculars from the early 1950s have seemed to disappear. But Amahl and the Night Visitors was also a tradition.
There's never been a DVD made of it, has there?
I'm not familiar with one. There may be, but I'm not familiar with it.
Well, I hate to see a generation growing up without it, because my children adored it.
Yes.
And so did we. And incidentally, I don't want to argue, but my favorite version of A Christmas Carol is the Alistair Sim one.
Yeah.
And I do have it on tape.
I knew my comment would be controversial.
I'm sure a lot of people would agree with you. We had a small argument about that just before we got going. Well, I appreciate the comment of the caller, everyone who called in. We're going to have to leave it there because we're here at the end of the time. I'm sure, though, at another day, maybe Stephen Schaefer will come back and we'll talk about some other things.
Yes, I was all prepared to talk about some contemporary films, but we never got to that.
We'll do that on another day. Stephen Schaefer, he is Assistant Dean in the College of Arts and Sciences here at U of I, also Assistant Professor of Cinema Studies.